Hello, dear friend. Happy Monday. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. I'm glad you have joined us today. I trust that God's Word will encourage your heart today. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah 15:16. So we find the Word of God, we procure it, and then we ingest it, and then we digest it, and it gives us joy in our hearts. So it's a blessing that we can join together studying God's Word each day. Well, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and hold a finger there and be ready to do some Bible searching for a few passages today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your gracious provision to us, for how you love us, how you provide for us, how you bless us, Lord, when we give back to you what you've already given to us. Open our hearts to your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming to the last verses of the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. I want to read again today. The Apostle Paul says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." As we have studied how to live within the means provided by God, looking at finances from a God's standpoint, we saw this wonderful truth that we need to understand God's financial plan. And then we need to give glory to God for his gracious provision. I want you to follow with me a few texts of Scripture, because the Bible has a lot to say about this whole matter of our finances, about giving. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and notice verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Now think of the agrarian culture of the Israelites. They were farmers. They planted crops and they had vineyards. And then they would trample the grapes, and then they would have the fruit of the vine. So God says here, honor me with what you have. Give me the first fruits of your increase. And then notice how your barns are going to be filled with plenty. You're going to have plenty when you've learned to prioritize me and to put me first. And your vats are going to flow. There are going to be a great harvest of grapes from your vineyards, and your vats will overflow with the juice from the grape. So honor me and you will be blessed. It is a simple and powerful and often from our selfish hearts opposed principle. May God help us to understand the principle and to follow through with it. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and notice how much wisdom is here about this subject. Proverbs 11, verse 24. "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty." Isn't this an intriguing verse? There is one who scatters, that is, he gives, and he has blessing, he has plenty, he increases, and then there is one who withholds, and what happens to him? He diminishes. It leads to poverty. So spiritual stinginess leads not to blessing, but to poverty. Verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. And notice verse 26, the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. For the one who withholds, there's cursing. With the one who gives, here, even willing to sell, there's blessing. This reminds me of one of the Psalms blessing a godly man or woman, Psalm 112. Notice some powerful words here. Psalm 112, verse 1, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. I love this psalm. Notice verse 9, he has dispersed abroad. That is, he's scattered, he's given abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. So there is a picture here of one who has success, who flourishes. And he is godly, he meditates on God's word, and he disperses abroad. That is, he has learned, or she has learned, the secret of giving. It says he is given to the poor, and he has enduring righteousness. Wonderful passage. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19:17. And it says here, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And he in my Bible is capitalized, I take it to be the Lord, he will pay back what he has given. Isn't that amazing? The one who is generous and who gives here to the poor, the Lord will pay him back. Remember, we've said earlier, you cannot outgive God. Oh, I have seen and been the recipient of the gifts of the people of God over the years. What a blessing it is to give, but what a blessing it is also to receive. Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. But I can tell you, you give to the Lord your life, your time, your talents, your treasures, he will pay you back. And you know, it reminds me of the story of the country preacher, that every Sunday people would come to church and they would bring a few vegetables from their garden, or they would bring some fruit from their orchards, and they would give the preacher all of these things from their land. And occasionally, rarely, they would bring some meat that they had from their farm. And someone asked the preacher, says, do you like your job? He said, oh, I love it. And they said, well, how's the pay? He said, well, the pay is not always so great, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. Well, you know, I am so blessed by the giving of God's people at East End Baptist Church. But even more than that, the benefits when we all give unto the Lord, laid up in heaven, treasures, retirement benefits, as it were. So we can rejoice in that. The goodness of God to bless us now and to bless us in eternity with reward as we are faithful to Him. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. This is a verse that Deacon Sampson likes to refer to. And I've been blessed as he has referred to this verse more than once. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What a great principle. Jesus teaches us, give, and it will be given to you. You give, and you will become a recipient. And grateful recipients then become gracious givers. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, a wonderful truth here. 2 Corinthians 9:7, for let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, a giver who gives with joy, with gladness, gives cheerfully. So if we look back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And there are many scriptures that back that up. We give unto the Lord and then it is given unto us. And God supplies according to his riches, not poverty, but his riches in glory. Can you imagine the wonder of the glories of heaven? After all, streets paved with gold? Imagine that. There are riches in glory. And we give to God, lay up treasure in heaven, how he blesses us here on this earth and supplies our need. No wonder Paul exclaims with a doxology. Doxology comes from two Greek words. Doxos, this means glory, or doxē, glory, and logos, word. It's a word of glory. It's a word ascribing honor and praise to God. And Philippians 4:20 is a brief doxology. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Because of all that God has done for us, he deserves glory and honor and praise. But think of the whole message of the book of Philippians, rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of trial, in the midst of hardship, rejoicing in the Lord and doing according to his will and not worrying but praying, trusting him. Does he deserve glory or what? So Paul says, to our God and Father, glory forever and ever. It is a common thing in Scripture to give glory to God. In Paul's epistles, he will interrupt himself, as it were, and exclaim with a doxology, a word of glory, a word of praise and honor to God. But I want you to notice some verses in the book of Revelation. Revelation, among many other truths taught, teaches glory to God and praise to God. And no wonder, because Jesus will be triumphant. He will win. Notice Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Look at chapter 5 and verse 12. Another exclamation of praise here. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Can you imagine these heavenly choirs saying, worthy is the Lamb? Oh, amazing. To receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory. He is worthy to receive all the glory. Look at chapter 7 and verse 12. Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Isn't this just tremendous? Revelation is a word of glory to ascribe praise to God for all that he is and all that he's done. One more. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. So our God deserves glory, honor, praise, thanksgiving for all that he has done. And as we think about giving to him, let's think about all that he's given to us. And let's thank him with glory and ascribe praise and worth to his matchless name. Well, today I want to go to two more countries on the persecution index. Colombia. In South America, most of our countries have been in the East, in the Middle East and Far East, the 1040 window. But Colombia in South America is number 41 on the persecution ranking. About 50 million people here. And here is a specific request. Pray for Christians to experience peace and remain strong in their faith despite the fears of guerrilla activity among them. There are those guerrilla terrorists in Colombia, especially against righteous people. So let's pray for Christians there. And then also number 42 on the list is the little country of Oman. If you think of Saudi Arabia as a tall sock hat, and if you could think of the bottom of that hat turned up, and we have two countries at the bottom, Yemen and Oman, and these countries put pressure on Christians. Christians are few there, but let's pray for them. Our Father, we thank you today that you are sovereign, that you are all-powerful, that you deserve honor and glory and blessing. And we bless you today. We praise your name for all that you have done for us and all the wonderful gifts you've given to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the local church and the fellowship of believers. Thank you for the riches that we have in Christ. And, oh, Father, I pray that you will bless the Christians in Colombia. Protect them, Lord. We pray there would be peace. We pray that those that are terrorists there and fighting in guerrilla warfare against righteousness, we pray that you will bring their activity to an end. We pray they will be reached with the gospel. Strengthen your people there. May they be strong in grace. And our Father, we pray for Oman. We pray for these two countries, Yemen and Oman, at the bottom of Saudi Arabia. Lord, strengthen Christians there. Give them boldness to witness. We pray you would change the hearts of rulers to give freedom to believers to be able to assemble and worship. Lord, we pray that the Word of God will be provided and the means to read it and understand it there in Oman. And Lord, we ask again for your mighty work in the United States of America to turn hearts to you in revival. We pray, Lord, that churches will open up, that people will come, that the work of God will go forward stronger than ever. And we ask all of this in Jesus' worthy, mighty, and glorious name. Amen. God bless you, friend. Thank you for joining us today on Bible Sunshine. May God's light shine brightly on you today.